إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers, in life we have goals and then we make effort behind those goals and then we get satisfaction at the end of that if we achieve the goal. And the simple reminder for today is to compare and say, what are my goals for the dunya and what are my goals for the akhirah? How much effort am I making behind the goals for the dunya and how much effort am I making behind the goals for the akhirah? And how much satisfaction do I get when I achieve my dunya goals and how much satisfaction do I get when I achieve my akhirah goals? It's very simple just to think about these two things. I always recommend writing it down because it's easier to assimilate if you have it written down. So try to do that as an exercise. Write down your top three goals for the dunya and top three goals for the akhirah. I remember we were in Ijtema in Baltimore in 94 or 95, I think it was, when I was, my very dear friend of mine and myself, we were sitting and chatting, and I said to him, if we make a, you know, what we call a bucket list, which is a list of things to do. So you might say, well, climb Mount Everest, swim with the sharks, whatnot. You make one whole list of ideal things that you would like to do. So, I said, if you make your bucket list, where is Jannah on that? Get into Jannah. Where is that on this list? Do something to get into Jannah. Of course, we have to die before you get into Jannah. But what will get me into Jannah? What are the things that I can do to get into Jannah? So, he thought for some time, then he said to me something which it shook me, because not because of what he said, but because I realized that was true for me also. He told me, he said, "Yaar bhai, Jannah is not even on the list." He said, "Jannah is not even on my list." So seriously, if you ask someone, make a list, it doesn't mean we don't want to go to Jannah. It means that it is not something which we think is real. It's not something which we think is something which is real enough to make some effort, do something about it. It's there somewhere in the back of the mind. Yeah, we have to go to Jannah. Nobody says, I want to go to Jahannam. But the point is that just having some vague cloud in the mind is not a substitute for a goal. You know, when I teach achievement orientation, we get people to actually sit down and make a goal. And then we say, you make this goal, then you imagine, what does it feel like to achieve this goal? Imagine that you have already achieved the goal. What does it feel like? What does it look like? If somebody says, my goal is to build my own house, they say, okay, fine. So now, imagine this house. Imagine this house as already built. What does it look like? When you're standing in front of the door, what is it in front of the house? The elevation, what does it look like? Now I want you to go around from the right side. Now we make them actually do the exercise. I want you to go walk around the house. Now you are on the right side of the house. What does it look like? Now you are at the back of the house. What does it look like? So actually walk around inside the house. Like you have those 3D image things that you move your mouse around and it spins. And then walk inside the front door. Knock on the door. Who is opening the door? When you open the door, what's the first thing you are seeing? Now you walk inside the house, look up, look down, look side, look to the side, right? I'm saying, if you do this with Jannah, what do you find? Your Jannah is not real enough to do all this. I don't know. I mean, we have to think. What is my Jannah like? One of our asatis, I used to say that Jannah is a plane, is a flat plane. There is nothing on it. What goes on it is what you put on it. So depending on your actions, depending on our ibadat, depending on what we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that Jannah for us. And he used to say that you will find in Jannah, you know, some people, some makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, malaika or whatever, they're building a house, building a palace. And suddenly the work stops. Many people are in construction here, think about that. Suddenly work stops. He said, what happened? He said, no material. If you are building a house, do you ever allow that to happen? I mean, it may happen without your choice or something, but if you are in charge of a project, will you ever run out of material? Will you ever allow somebody, if you have a site engineer or something, and if he runs out of material, what will you say to him? You know, where is your planning? How do you run out of material? How can you say suddenly cement is finished? How can it be finished? No, it's not magic. You can count. How many bags were there? What were you using? It's a bowling anyway. So the malaika who building the palace will say material finished. What is that material? That material is your ibadah. He said, the man stopped praying tahajjud. So what to do now? No mishkan, no ambar, and no gold bricks and no silver bricks. Everything stopped. Then when he starts praying again, then material comes. Then suddenly it stops. What happened now? He stopped. Material supply is finished. So what goes there is what we put there. And that's why I want to remind myself and you, what am I putting into my Jannah? Inshallah. Jannah is what we inherit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it your inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it Jannah, the inheritance. You return to the Jannah. We return to Allah. How can you return if you are not there in the first place? You can't say, I cannot say I am returning to Auckland because I've never been to Auckland. I guess I'm going to Auckland. I can say I will return to Brisbane. I can return to Sydney because I've been there before, right? But I can't say I'm returning to Beijing. You know, I've never been to Beijing. So unless I go to Beijing once, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you return to Jannah. Means what? That is our home. That is actually our home. This is a journey. This is a bridge. This is a resting place for a while. So if you find somebody who is spending all his time and everything else, you know, sometimes it happens, you're going in a train. In planes, it usually doesn't happen so much because of the announcements and so on and everything else. But trains, very often. You're going in a train is stopped somewhere, you get off and you say, well, I'm going to buy something and I'm feeling hungry, I need some food. And then you get so sometimes engrossed in the food that the train starts moving, the train leaves. And then you have to run to catch the train or maybe you miss it. And if you ask the person, what were you doing? He said, no, I was doing something useful. It's not as if I was doing something, I was not sitting there watching a movie or something. I went to get some food. I need food. I was hungry. But which need is superior to which need? I mean, when you are in the train or when you have to catch a plane, to get on the plane is the superior need. Yes, you also need food. But even if you cannot get the food, which one will you sacrifice? Will you sacrifice missing the plane for the food? If you do that, people say, oh, you're crazy. What are you doing? You're sitting in the airport eating your food and the plane is gone. I mean, that is nonsense. Why did you go to the airport? So, even though the other one is a need, nobody said it is not a need. Eating food is a need. But in that situation, it is an inferior need. It's not a superior need. You cannot sacrifice the superior need for the inferior need. So, this dunya is a need. I'm not talking about haram, I'm talking about halal. Is it a need for you to build a house? Yes. Is it a need for you to have a good career? Yes. Is it a need for you to do this? Yes. All of these are needs. But which is the superior need? The rida of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be pleased. That is also a need, no? Is that a zarurat or no? Is that a need or no? That we should get into Jannah, is this a need? Or it's okay if you don't get into Jannah. So if that is a superior need, then the inferior needs have to be sacrificed for the superior need. That's the question to ask. What is it that I am doing? What are my goals for the dunya? What are my goals for the akhirah? Which goals am I sacrificing for which goals? The tragedy for a lot of people, may Allah protect us and keep us away from them, is that the superior needs are satisfied for the, are sacrificed for the inferior needs. We sacrifice the Jannah for this dunya. We do things which are wrong. We know they are wrong. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question. We know there is a problem, but we still do it because shaitan is telling us, if you don't do this, you will starve. Imam Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, I have read in the Quran more than 90 times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am responsible for the rizq of my makhluk. I have created them, I have ordained it, and I will feed them. And I don't need anybody's help. I will feed them with my power. I am capable of feeding them. He said, this mazmoon, this topic, he said, I read in the Quran more than 90 times. And he said, I read only once. Ash-shaytanu ya'idukumul faqr. That the shaitan will frighten you with poverty and with starvation. So he said, that is only once. And more than 90 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assured, don't worry about your sustenance. That is my responsibility. I will give it. I have written it. So what sense does it make to sacrifice the akhirah for the dunya, for something which Allah has assured us? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see our priorities correctly and to do that which is beneficial to us and to save us from that which is not beneficial. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.